Thanks, Bill. Our New Testament lesson for this morning comes from 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, verses 12 through 31. You may remain seated, but pay close attention and hear now the word of God. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in the one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jew or Greek, slave or free. And we were all made to drink of one Spirit. Indeed, the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot were to say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear were to say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many members, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need for you, nor the head to the feet, I have no need for you. On the contrary, the members of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And those members of the body that we think less honorable, we clothe with greater honor. And our less respectable members are treated with greater respect, whereas our more respectable members do not need this. But God has so arranged the body, giving the greater honor to the inferior member, that there may be no dissension within the body, but the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together with it. If one member is honored, all rejoice together with it. Now, you are the body of Christ, and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then deeds of power, gifts of healing, forms of assistance, heads of leadership, various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess the gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But strive for the greater gifts, and I will show you still a more excellent way. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I appreciate Bill more than I can say for a lot of reasons, but this morning particularly, I needed a few minutes to gather myself and steel myself and begin to move toward the lectionary reading for today, which is the text we'll be using that Jeff just read to you. I got up this morning, was running early, intentionally so, to get here early, and when I got in my car, the battery was dead. I mean dead. So I asked Doogie what he thought, and he said, your battery's dead. So I called Jeff, and he came and got me, and I got down here, and then Mr. Leonard heard of it and went to work immediately to decide what we were going to do about this. And since I have church until noon, SPR at 2, and ATC at 4, left little time. He and Alexis went to my house and got the car started. I said cranked earlier, but that's really country. So got my car started and brought it down here to me so I can get it to auto parts and get a battery or someplace and get a battery between some of these things. And I appreciate them. I told Linda, Leonard was my hero, and Alexis said, I thought I was. And I said, well, you're my Puerto Rican hero. Leonard's my Navy hero. And Craig Sneeberger's my Marine hero. So I do appreciate their work. But in all of that running around, it gets hard then to get settled and focused again. And you had as much to do as I did, just different. And so, Bill, thank you. You helped us settle and get ready to hear a word from God. How many bones are in the human body? It's taken into consideration that you've got all of them you're supposed to have. How many? How did did you know that, Chad? Have you broken all of them? A lot of them. 206 bones in the human body. And there's some nurses out there, and maybe some. We had a physical terrorist in the first service, and she got even this one right. How many muscles? 639. Now, after 639 muscles, 206 bones, there's about 6 pounds of skin, ligaments, cartilage, veins, arteries, blood. The rest is fat. That's what it says right here. The rest is fat. Every time we hear a sound, every time we make a noise, every time we take a breath, hundreds of different parts of our body goes to work. A single movement is caused by our mind and kicks everything else into gear. Even the greatest engineers from Georgia Tech cannot make such a machine as our body is. Jeff said in the early service, yeah, we know. And I said, they come closer than Georgia. The body is one of the most powerful images for someone to use to describe the church. It just is. That's why Paul used it. The church, this church and all others, is a very strange organization. If one is to lead the church, they must lead it as if it were a business. And they must not run it as if it were a business. She is mostly operated by what we call laity or volunteers. Now, volunteers cannot be hired or fired. And the pastor in the Methodist system neither can be hired or fired. They can be moved. And this afternoon, the SPR committee will be filling out their move stay forms. And I'm going to ask them to gather up here in the front after, if they're on the SPR committee, so you can come and say to them, your pleasure. Now, the pastor has as many bosses as there are members, but is expected to lead the church and please all those bosses. Most volunteers are energetic and passionate. All volunteers are extremely important to the cause, to the kingdom, to moving the church forward. All are extremely valuable. Every one of us has our own ideas about what is best for the church. That's what was happening at Corinth. And so Paul wrote to them and said, you're all valuable, you're all important, you're all a part of the body. Many parts, different duties. This text is telling the congregation then and now that every single person is important, has great worth to the church and to the kingdom. Some people are called to gloom and doom. They help keep us honest. They drag around and suffer for the Lord, and that's what they're called to do. I don't understand it, but it works. For them, it works. They call that suffering for the Lord, and they do it nobly. Some folks within the body are toes, and some are fingers, and some are ears, and some are eyes. Some are backsides, and some are front sides. But none of us is the head. That spot belongs to Jesus Christ, the head of the church. And all of us are important, and it wouldn't be complete unless all the parts gathered to do their part, whatever that may be. This week, a lot of things have happened. The weather has been brutal and questionable. And we've set, most of us, with a TV on or with a weather channel on to see what the next hour was going to bring, because it seemed to change from hour to hour. Doogie and I have not missed a walk, but it was really, really cold. We had MLK Jr. holiday and celebrated that on Wednesday evening with Austin Broughton when he delivered to us Martin Luther King Jr.'s "I Have Been to the Mountaintop." Very inspiring. Some of us had meetings. Most of us got to work. Some of us had basketball practice, even though we didn't get to play basketball yesterday. Some had Bible study and some had choir practice. And Glenn Fry died. Now, you sit there looking at me like you don't know who is Glenn Fry. Say it again. The Eagles. The Eagles. He was one of the most celebrated songwriters in our time. Wrote songs like "Take It Easy," "Peaceful Easy Feeling." You remember those? "Hotel California." You remember that? But he also wrote songs and helped write songs like "Desperado" and "Hole in the World Tonight." And I think some of those songs ought to be in our Methodist hymnal. He was a huge part of the Eagles. Huge. And the Eagles won't be the same without him. But he was only one part of the Eagles. They'll go on. There'll be other songs. Maybe not quite as good, but there'll be other songs. It's sort of like Shamley First won't ever be the same without people like Mary Lee Boyd or Buck Hall or Charles Wilson or Barbara Hickman or Doris Johnston or so many more. We are, you and I, the church. Some of us are noses. Some of us are hands. Some of us are feet. Part of the body takes in things. Part of the body gets rid of things. And if your mind's going someplace else, let me tell you that when I wrote that little clause down, I was thinking about air going in and out, getting rid of carbon dioxide, taking in some good clean oxygen. Can't do without one, gotta have them both. Now, I happen to disagree that on the day of Pentecost, the church was born. I know that the theologians say that and the gurus in worship have us set aside Pentecost as the birthday of the church. But I believe the Christian church was born when Jesus began to call his disciples and people began to follow them. I believe that the church was born when Jesus sat on the side of a well in Samaria with a woman who lied to him and told him that she was married when she was not and had been married 7 times already. And she went away and told the village, "Come and see. You got to come and see. You got to come and see this man. He told me everything about me." He knew it all. I believe the church was born when Jesus said to the woman who snuck into the synagogue because she was crooked and bent over, deformed, and that was considered unclean in that day, and he happened to see her standing behind a curtain and went to her and said, "Stand up straight, daughter of Abraham. Look them in the eye." And she walked out of that church looking at the Pharisees and the Sadducees and all the Sanhedrin, knowing that she had a place of honor because God had spoken. I believe the church was born when Jesus said, "Let the children come." I believe the church was born when Jesus went home with a short little tax collector. He was really short, Mike, that little tax collector. And Jesus went home with him and went to dinner at his house. And then he called fishermen and tax collectors and ordinary people to run the church, people like me and you. He helped us to understand that there's a place in the church for everyone, and I believe the church hasn't changed that much. It is still filled with people and preachers that make mistakes, that try their best, and everybody's best doesn't look like everybody else's best. My best may look different than someone else's best, and your best may look different than someone else's best. And it really doesn't matter to God as long as we're trying our best. That's why we're not supposed to judge. I had two sons. One made straight A's, never missed a day of school, never been in trouble. And I told him when he started his junior year, if you don't get one B and miss one day of school this year, you're grounded. He's going to have a heart attack before he was 32. The other one, we rewarded and took to McDonald's if he made a C. And he had the highest IQ. Everybody's best is different, right, Steve? And all God wants from us is our very best. Some of the hands here want to feed the hungry. Good for them. Some of the feet want to go on mission trips. Good for them. Some of the strong backs want to move furniture for the prisoners being released from prison. Good for them. And some of the backs that want to do that are not strong enough, and they go and supervise the backs that are. Good for them, too. Some of the toes will want to kick footballs and run up and down basketball courts with the children and youth, and good for them. Some with eyes and ears will want to teach. Some will want to raise money. And some will love to attend meetings. Good for them. Some with leadership abilities will be called to lead. And some who are great followers will be a real asset to the church. Some that look over their shoulders and in their rearview mirrors all the time at how it used to be will help those who might be shut in and don't realize the changes that have happened in our church. Good for them. There are priests and there are prophets, and there'll be a whole nother sermon coming on the difference in a priest and a prophet. You like priests better than you do prophets, but there's a place for the prophets. Some are leaders, some are followers, some are rule makers, traditionalists to the nine and need to be that way, and there are others who think they have a better way of doing things, and everybody knows that they know best how to run the church. The most important thing is knowing that there is a place for all of us. All of us are a part, and without that part, the church will not be the same. The scripture says that when one of us suffers, we all suffer, and I believe that. The scripture says that one of us is no more important than another of us, and I believe that. It says that one of us needs to celebrate with another, and that if one is grieving, we all need to grieve together. I've seen that in action at Shamley First. Thank you for hanging tight. This church is a strange organization like any other. Some of our members are strange. Some of our preachers are even stranger. But what other organization is able to care for the children, care for the senior citizens, help balance the scales with those who are weaker, help balance the scales with those who are poor, help fight prejudice and oppression? What organization can send help to those who are victims of war or natural disasters? Do you know that UMCOR, you know what UMCOR is? United Methodist Committee on Relief. Because of your giving, because we pay our apportionments 100%, because Extra Mile Giving comes on One Great Hour of Sharing, which is coming up, I think, March the 1st. I think that's when it comes up, or the first Sunday in March. Because of your giving, UMCOR, United Methodist Committee on Relief, can boast that they are the first in and the last out when there's a natural disaster. Good for you. What other organization can provide a safe place for all those who enter here? All those who enter here. Those that look like us, those that talk like us, and those that don't. There is a place in the church for all of us. And so how do we decide? How do we know what to do? How do we lead and how do we follow? We need to be healthy. The body needs to be healthy. If I were to say Flint, Michigan, what would you think? Water. Why? Because it's bad. And why is it bad? What's it got in it? Lead. Let me tell you something. So does your water. So does everybody's water. There's a little lead most every place. You know why it hurts Flint, Michigan? You know why the children are suffering in Flint, Michigan? Now I'm going to put on my nursing hat for a minute. Because Flint, Michigan is a food desert. There is no grocery store in Flint, Michigan. There are food marts where you can go and get bread and eggs and milk. But there's nowhere in Flint, Michigan that you can go and buy fresh vegetables and good meat. That means that all the children in Flint, Michigan just about have low hemoglobins. Their iron levels are low. The adults can keep their iron levels up a little better. If your iron levels are up, it causes that lead not to bond with your molecules, with your cells. If your hemoglobin, your iron falls down, though that lead will come in and bind everything up and gum everything up and cause all kind of problems. The body has to be healthy, or all sorts of bad things will enter the body and get stuck on all kind of folks and gum up the works and cause the church to grind to a halt. We need to be healthy. Then we can fight off lead and Satan and hate and prejudice and selfishness and greed and all those things. Well, how do we decide? Here's a rule that's always worked for me. I don't know if it'll work for you. You can try it and see. You can always set it aside if it doesn't. But here's the rule that always works for me. Where is the love of Christ in this situation or in this issue? Where's the love of Christ? If I cannot find it, I usually will walk away. If it is there, I'm in. I'm in. I don't know if that'll help you or not, but here's the great good news, and it is great good news. If we pray, if we truly pray, the Holy Spirit will come and whisper in our ear the right way for the church to go. And if we pray and we're serious about that prayer, the Holy Spirit will lead us so that we can follow Christ and be the hands and feet that He's called us to be, or the ears and eyes, or the front side or the back side, or any of those other parts of the body that are necessary to move us forward. We are the body of Christ, and God ordained that. And I am very thankful to be a little part. Are you? Amen.